Sasqua is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. For more information, visit sasquatch.com. This is Sasquatch, a podcast about Bigfoot. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined by my pal, Mark Matsky.
Greetings.
And Brandon, how do you say your last name?
It's Dalo.
Brandon Dalo. Brandon is a listener of the show and a pal of mine who I got to meet back in, was that September or October?
Yes, it was September before I left.
September. All right. I got to meet Brandon back in September in the town of Minerva, where we are making our Minerva Monster documentary, which recently wrapped filming. More information coming soon. Keep your eyes on Facebook. Brandon is a Bigfoot fan and a sensible kind of Bigfoot enthusiast from my encounters with him. Now, the way I met Brandon is interesting because it wasn't through Sasquatch. I actually found Brandon while doing research for the book that Mark and I are currently on hiatus on working on. Where? Oregon Bigfoot. Is that it? Is that where I found you?
Yeah, I believe that was a website.
Yeah, I tracked Brandon down through the Oregon Bigfoot website when I was trying to find Bigfoot reports from the state of Ohio that might not have been all over the place. And I looked him up on Facebook because I saw that he lived in my old hometown. So I looked him up on Facebook and then I sent him a message, creepily sent him a message and asked for permission to use his father's encounter in the book, because the encounter that he had sent to the Oregon Bigfoot website was actually his dad's. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I wanted to specify that Brandon is one of these cases where I actually had to kind of point him in the direction of my own podcast. I had to pimp my own podcast at him. So anyway, Mark, how have you been?
Been good. We adopted a 20-month-year-old Newfoundland dog a week ago Monday and have been getting used to another pre-adolescent in the household. So it's, you know, there are joys and challenges with each. So but she's great. She's great. She came from a rescue organization that also is a service dog training facility called Four Paws for Ability. So the cool thing is she knows a bunch of commands and follows the commands that you tell her to do. So it's like a fully trained dog just showing up on your doorstep one day. And she's a real sweetheart.
Yeah, I saw pictures of her. She's awesome.
Yep.
And Brandon is a world traveler who just returned from sort of a American Werewolf in London tour. tell us about your trip.
Yeah, I spent all of October in Europe just traveling the continent. I visited 9 countries in that time and met countless amazing people from all over the world. Yeah, I just had the time of my life. It was fantastic, and I've just been itching to get back out there.
All right, good. So so to kind of introduce you to the listeners, what got you interested in Bigfoot?
That's a good question. I would have to say the Patterson film. I just remember seeing it when I was really young, and I think that was what kind of kicked it all off. I really started getting really interested in the whole paranormal, cryptozoological subject when I was about 14 or 15, and I just got really into all that kind of stuff, whether it was UFOs or whatever. But Bigfoot was always kind of one of my main fascinations. Mm-hmm. And so that's just kind of the, and since then I've just read lots of books on it and been enjoying your podcast and others. Yeah, so not as super fanatical about it as I was when I was 15, but definitely still keep an interest in it.
Yeah, and your history with the subject runs back to your father, which obviously is how I ended up running into you. So why don't we talk a little bit about your dad's encounter, I guess you would call it. which was, it took place where? Down along the Ohio River, right? Or Gallipolis, something like that. Where am I thinking?
It was, it's in the Wayne National Forest, right? Okay. Next. It's near Marietta, Ohio, mm-hmm. which is, if you're unfamiliar, it's on the, it's right by the Ohio River, down there on the border. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he was camping with his family. They've been going for a few generations now down there in the Wayne National Forest to the same spot. There used to be a cabin back in the early 60s and 70s where they camped, and then it was torn down, but they still camped in that spot. And, yeah, it's about 10 or 11 miles off the main road, so you're pretty far back up in the wilderness down there. And, yeah, he was a kid, and this took place in the 70s, so he was about 11 or 12. And after a day of hiking and camping, they retired to their van to sleep. And so they were all kind of sleeping in the back of the van. And for whatever reason, he couldn't fall asleep. So he got up in the driver's seat and just kind of stared out of the window for a while. And after some time had passed, he heard these vocalizations in the woods. And he described them as three extremely loud and powerful and long howls, like scream howls, if you will. And, you know, they rose in pitch. So they started and then rose in pitch to kind of a peak and then rose down in pitch all the way and kind of ended on this kind of guttural kind of animal growl. And he described it as, you know, a mix between a man and an animal, basically. He said it sounded like a man, but the lung capacity that the thing that was making this sound would have needed was much more than a man. He said it had to have been huge because it was so powerful. And, you know, it was echoing through the hills down there in Marietta. And, yeah, so it just happened three times, and then nothing else occurred after that. But he was obviously completely petrified and scared out of his mind. But yeah, that happened when he was, you know, when he was a kid down there.
Yeah, and you compared it a little bit to the Ohio Howl. And if you haven't figured this out yet, and I probably should have said at the top of the show, this is our Bigfoot Sounds episode of Sasquatch. So we're going to be going over some various howls and screams, and I have a list of natural animal noises as well, some of them very odd. So this one is the Ohio Howl. It's probably, next to the Sierra Sounds, the most famous Bigfoot noise. I mean, everyone always refers to the Ohio Howl. You said that your father said what he had heard sounded similar to this, right?
Yeah, what's interesting about that was what happened was he told me that when I was a kid. And then when, like I was telling you earlier, about 14, 15, I started really getting into this stuff. And I just happened to be on a website. I think it was called Logan's Bigfoot Site. I went on there the other day, and hasn't been updated since, like, 2002. But, you know, and they had a category on that site that was, you know, Bigfoot Sounds. And I had never heard of that before, so I thought that was really interesting. So, you know, I was playing through them. And, yeah, I got to the one, I think on the website it was called Scream Howl, but I played it, and it just immediately, that story that my dad had told me before came to mind. You know, it was, wow, that sounds exactly like what he described. And I remember the moment he was upstairs, and I called him down and played that recording for him, and his face went white, and he rose his arms up, and he's like, I got goosebumps, oh my God, play it again. So I played it a few more times, and he's like, that was almost exactly like what he heard. And so he was just completely astounded that I found that sound on a Bigfoot website, you know?
Found this one the most believable because it's one where you can't instantly come up with some sort of alternative explanation. Typically, I'll hear what people are referring to, and I think we even have some that I'm going to play later that I believe sound more like a coyote or a mountain lion, especially a mountain lion looking for a mate, which is one of the scariest things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it's absolutely horrifying. But that one is—it's so deep and kind of guttural. It's a very—you know—it's like very Bobo, very Bobo-esque.
Yes.
Mark, what do you think of the Ohio Howl?
Just listening to it again right now, what struck me was the sheer volume of it. You know, it just sounds so powerful. Like Brandon was talking about the lung capacity that would be necessary to generate a sound like that. That really hit me again, and I also like the fact that there's some other ambient sound in there that you can detect, like there's a dog barking, and other sounds that just sort of put that in a context that is very believable. It's either, I mean, like you said, what else can it be except a really big person howling into the night air, which that raises a whole other set of issues if that's all it is.
Yeah. And you sent me another one here, Brandon, called the Trent vocal, which I had never heard. And there's some similarities here with the Ohio Howl. We're going to play this one. There's some... Someone's running the shower. Possibly a toilet. So I caught something at the end of that. I don't know if you guys did. Did you hear the kind of high-pitched... It's almost like something secondarily joined into that. Did you catch that? Let's play that again. Right. Listen right at the end. It almost sounded like maybe something screaming back or joining in. It could have been a person. I mean, it's something high pitched came in there. Did you notice that, Brandon?
Yeah, and I don't know if that's a coyote sound or, like you said, if it was another. Whatever was making the sound was kind of communicating back with it or what?
We're going to play it one more time. Let's listen. I feel like a detective right now. Interesting. Okay. So I don't know anything about that sound. Do you know where it came from or anything, Brandon?
Yeah, it was recorded recently, I think in 2013, actually. And it was... It was actually, it came off of a video. It was filmed by a woman named Norma Trent, I believe, hence the Trent vocalization name. And it was taken in Bruno, West Virginia.
Okay, cool. I mean, not far from where the Ohio Howl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's got a guttural, it's got a raspy, not a rasp, but kind of a rattle to it. But it's other than that, it sounds almost identical to the Ohio Howl, but there's a rattle to it. I don't know if you caught that as well. And then you sent me this one, the WAV file is just called Scream Howl. Now, everyone's going to know this, but they're probably not going to know where it came from exactly. I told the guys before we started recording, I'm like 99% sure that this recording is something to do with Ivan Marks. I swear I heard his name connected with this, and therefore I'm almost positive that this one was, I don't think it was a hoax. I think this was actually recorded as a sound effect for a movie and then eventually became, you know, kind of put out there as being a Bigfoot howl. But so take this one with a grain of salt. But the interesting thing about this to me is it does bear similarities to that Ohio howl. So I know I'm like 99.9% sure this one is not a real Bigfoot noise, but let's check it out. Really fell apart at the end of that, like someone hit his toe with a hammer or something. Again, I swear that's a Marks though. There's something about that sound that I cannot put my finger on, but I'm almost positive that was a recording for a movie. Someone is going to have to write in and correct me on this. But
I actually saw that was I've seen on different websites different things. What was interesting, that clip that you just played is the one I originally showed my dad. Mm-hmm. So fake or not, that was something like what he heard. But what I've seen on different websites was that, yeah, it was created in the studio to kind of show like a reenactment kind of a thing of what a Bigfoot would sound like, I guess. And I've seen on one website specifically that it was made for an A&E documentary.
Okay. See, the assumption I would have is it's sort of pulling from actual recordings that people have made of Bigfoot calls, maybe, because it sounds, again, like I don't know if it was made before or after the Ohio Howl, but it bears similarities to it. It's a little more high-pitched. Right, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I don't know the reverb on that. You know, it sounds like it was recorded in a shower or something. You know, just the sound of it. But yeah, it follows the contour of the sound, you know, the rise and fall that we've come to be pretty familiar with. That's interesting, though, to me that if that was based, if that was Ivan Marks or based on a West Coast Sasquatch sound, it just is kind of fascinating that that would bear such a strong resemblance to other recordings of purported real Bigfoot obtained in Ohio and West Virginia. You know, that when you think about that, that's a pretty wide range of territory that you're covering. Just the idea that that would be a uniform sound is, yeah, suggests a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe they got a Bigfoot in the studio.
Yeah.
And had him do some screams.
Right. Give me a little more raspy.
We need some timbre. Really, really get in there. I pulled up some sounds from offline, and there's a lot of weird natural occurring noises in the woods that a lot of people aren't aware of. One of them that I stumbled upon that I was telling you guys about was the mountain lion, which is very unique. And so I found this video with some mountain lion screaming. So we're going to play this. Oh, my. Here she comes. So I just would like to, you know, put yourself in the middle of the woods at night.
No, and thanks.
All of a sudden you're hearing that thing from like 20 feet away. I mean, I'd probably...
Like human female screaming.
Exactly. And a lot, you know, you hear these people say it sounded like a woman being murdered or something. Like that is a common... I wonder how many of those cases are a mountain lion or a fox, because I also found this clip of a fox, which is similarly creepy. Oh, God. So there's another one. That's a fox screaming.
That mountain lion scream. I mean, the first thing that I thought of when you played that was how often you hear that a woman being murdered description is applied to Bigfoot sounds. And that, I mean, that really sounds like a woman in distress. That's
right.
That's disturbing.
Yeah. Now, I think I talked maybe a little bit about it on one of our previous episodes. I don't know if I did, but my wife and I were in the Smoky Mountain National Park back in May. And one night we went up along Skyland Drive or Skyland Drive, whatever it is, to watch the sunset. And after it got dark, we stayed at one of the overlooks, one of the highest overlooks. And below us in the trees, we were hearing what sounded like something primate. I mean, it was a very odd noise. It creeped us both out. It creeped her out so bad she got in the car. Like, we were standing outside, and she's like, I'm not staying out here. And I recorded it on my phone, and I sent the recording to Mark DeWorth. Now, I've since lost the recordings, unfortunately. But I sent the recordings to Mark DeWorth, and DeWorth told me a few different things, and then he hit upon peacock. And I was like, peacock? What the heck would a peacock be doing in Smoky Mountain National Park? So I went online, I looked up peacock, and sure enough, it was exactly what we heard. So I'm going to play this. This is very eerie. Kind of like ape laughter. Okay, so these are some sounds that Mark sent to me. They are the famed Sierra sounds as recorded by Ron Moorhead and Al Berry. That's right. Correct?
Yes, Mark? Correct.
Why don't you give us the background on these sounds? Because I know they're well known, but some of the newer people may not know anything about the Sierra sounds.
It was a remote high mountain area, and I was aware that there had been some strange goings on in this area from accounts of the people who had been there. And it was a long hike in, and I got in there in the late afternoon. I set my tape recorder up. I put my mic, taped it to a tree a little ways away from where I'd be bedding down, and then proceeded to wait along and see what developed.
Al Berry recreates for us what happened on the night of October 21st, 1972.
in the book Bigfoot by B. Ann Slate and Alan Berry. That was my first exposure to this experience that took place in the Sierras. Al Berry was invited to come into a camp that was evidently being visited by numerous nighttime visitors, and they had a number of interesting goings on up there, including a lot of vocalizations and interactions, and especially centering around a man-made blind that they had constructed. And it really seemed to go like when they would go into the blind, then they would hear footfalls approaching, they would hear these vocalizations. If they ever tried to exit the blind, then everything would come to a stop. And then they'd go back in, and all the sounds and the various other noises, wood knocks and so forth, would continue. And so they eventually set up a recording, I imagine it was a reel-to-reel recording device back then, and obtained a number of sounds on tape. And Ron Moorhead these days is probably the most well-known member of that party. The Johnson brothers are also named in the book, as that's who the camp actually belonged to. And so the result was a number of diverse vocalizations that Ron Moorhead, especially these days, has a couple CDs and a book talking about his experiences.
Okay. All right. Is this the Samurai? Is this the one they call Samurai Chatter? I know one of these is. Let's try.
One of them is.
Okay, that's beautiful. Absolutely. That's singing, melodious Bigfoot sound.
It is.
It really is. It's these sounds confuse me. I have to be honest. I don't know what to make of them. And I think Moorhead and Al Berry seem like honest guys, so I'm not saying that it was some sort of hoax. I've never thought it was a hoax. They sound so bizarre. What do you think of these, Brandon?
I'm with you on the them being so bizarre. I don't really know what to make of them. I mean, a human could potentially make these sounds, but at the same time, they don't really sound human in the way that they, you know, the volume and the growliness and all of that kind of fluctuates up and down so rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to believe that somebody was just kind of sitting there doing that to it in this recorder.
Right.
You know, and I don't know. That's all I can really say as far as definitely bizarre. I don't really know what to, I mean, maybe some kind of, you know, language.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know me. I mean, their bizarre quality is precisely what authenticates them to me. Mm-hmm. You know, it if Bigfoot can vocalize, then it should be weird. It should be different and outside of our experience. So they are so strange that it makes me think, well, it doesn't sound just like some guy whooping or doing a Bobo Ohio call. You know, it's it's something else entirely. And you know, if it's not Bigfoot, it's something trying to vocalize. And there's a little bit that we could talk about, I guess, with the subsequent professor or some doctor who examined these and had a number of things to say about could they have been human in nature. And his findings were pretty definitively no, you know, that a lot of these sounds fall outside of the range of any normal human vocal structure.
This guy's obviously never heard me drink a Monster Energy drink at like 3 a.m. and what happens after that. It would astonish him. So let's check out another one of these you sent me. Here we go. Okay, so is that the one... I think I've heard that one before. Is there someone like talking back to that, or?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Al Berry in the book said that he would try to get into a dialogue with these things, and it would sometimes seem like that was happening with the whistles and with the sort of the pseudo language that you hear.
Yeah, I'm gonna play that again because one thing I do love about that sound is the whistle. as a hoax, I don't know how you'd even get a whistle like that into the middle of, you know, the pseudo language that's taking place there. If my page will load, which it doesn't seem to be. All right. Well, that's not happening. Let me see if I can get another one of these to play. Are these all, these are all Sierra sounds, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can play another one. Nope. All right. Sounds are done. Sounds are all shut down for the show. All right.
We could make some.
I have some of my own I wanted to play. This is the Klamath River Screams, they're called. I found these online. That's a Priority Mail ad on YouTube. This is what happens when you play your noises live during recording. So those were recorded in 1993. Maybe it's just the skeptic in me. That sounds like someone playing a fox call, a fox scream or something through one of those reverb mics. You know those mics that reverberate? That's what it sounds like a reverb filter. I don't know. Have you guys ever heard that one before?
I've heard that one, and to me, you know, I play music, and to me it sounds almost, you know, not mechanical, but you could easily get a sound like that from, like you said, some kind of device through a microphone with a lot of reverb on it, or just a synthesizer that you've programmed to sound different.
Exactly.
You know, it has a lot of that reverb that sounds natural, like as if you're in the woods. But if you notice the screams, they have like a perfect upward pitch to them as they go along. Mm-hmm. It's almost as if someone's hitting a key and then hitting another one, you know? So I don't know. That's just my take. But
had you heard those ones before, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. I think they sound somewhat processed, in part because the pitch is exactly the same on each scream. You know, it's so uniform. It just makes you wonder. Mm-hmm. The other thing about the, you know, one of the drawbacks to most of these is just the sound quality itself of the file or the audio source. Yeah, like on that one, I'm not sure as I'm listening to it, is the sound that I'm hearing just the high-pitched scream, or is there like an intake of air that I'm hearing between each one, or is that just ambient sound? You know, mm-hmm. It's so hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah.
So,
have you guys ever heard the Colorado Howl?
I don't think so.
Okay. I found this on Stan Courtney's website, and for those who don't know, Stan Courtney is a researcher based in Illinois. He was on an episode of Finding Bigfoot. He does a lot of purported Bigfoot call recordings and stuff, and if you go to his website, he posts everything that he records, and he flat out says on the website, I'm not calling these Bigfoot sounds, I'm putting them out there for, you know, basically public consumption and for people to comment on and kind of point to what they think they could be. But I think this one, which I found today, is really curious. I mean, just the sound that goes on is really interesting. So let me see where I can... think of that.
I'm freaked out. that is wild. The end of that sounds like a sound a human could produce, but the beginning sure doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd have to really do some tortured vocals there, you know, to try to produce that same sort of leap that it makes from the low to the high range.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard anything like that before.
Brandon.
That one kind of sounds like a coyote to me, and I didn't think that until about halfway through, and it goes, ruh, ruh, and it does mm-hmm. that, and it kind of reminded me of like when a coyote will howl. It is a lot lower than a normal coyote howl, though.
It almost I thought the exact same thing as you. The first time I heard it, I was like, well, that's got to be like something unexplainable. But what I thought is maybe it's some sort of like a coyote with some injury or something, because it really does sound coyote-ish. Let's listen to it one more time here. It could be coyote, or it could be a Bigfoot. I mean, whatever it is, it's creepy. There's something unsettling about that, that noise. And we can play that, actually. I have some coyote sounds logged here, so we can actually play that against a coyote sound and see if there's a similarity. I think all I have is like a pack howl, like a coyote pack howl, but let's give it a listen real quick. Sorry, there's probably a lot of silence on this episode, but that's because we're playing these sounds live. That is one animal. That was one animal making all that noise. It's like right in front of the camera as it's making all this noise, and then there's a pack kind of behind it, but this one guy is making that much racket.
Yeah, can you imagine being out in the woods in the middle of the night?
No, I can't.
Can you hear that?
I'll tell you, we were in Cuyahoga. I think I talked about this on the show once or twice, but we were in Cuyahoga Valley this past summer, a friend and I, and we were just kind of sitting by a pond, and it was after dark. And I know there's a lot of coyote in CVNP because one of the rangers told me. And we had done some tree knocks, and we did a tree knock and received what sounded like another tree knock across the pond from where we were. But it was followed almost immediately by a pack of coyote somewhere. I mean, they were still a good distance away from us, but it sounded like they were heading in our direction. And we took off, like we got everything and took off. But
nothing to mess with.
No, it really isn't. I mean, they're freaky too. When you're out there at night after dark and you hear those things, and it's again, it kind of goes to that a woman being murdered sound. I mean, that's what that high pitched kind of scream. But
That's one thing I like about the howls that we played in the beginning. You know, they don't sound like normal animal sounds. That's why I think, you know, a lot of people attribute them to Bigfoot, because what other animal makes that sort of sound, you know?
Yeah, those kind of, and I guess you could say that about the Sierra sounds as well. Those kind of higher pitched things, sometimes to me, they could be attributed to a lot of different things. Right. But when you're talking about the Ohio howl or the Sierra sounds, you're at like either a man did this or a Bigfoot. I don't think there's a lot of animals that could make the Ohio howl, if any. It's too deep.
Right, and in doing some research for this episode, you know, I looked up moose calls, I looked up black bears, like you had some foxes at the beginning, did some fox stuff, and none of them that I looked at made anything close to that kind of a sound.
Right. All right, let's start to wrap it up here. Mark, thoughts on Bigfoot sounds?
Well, the thing that is interesting to me is, as you know, my introduction to the subject was largely through reading and through books, and it wasn't until in getting into that for quite a while before I actually heard any alleged recordings of those sounds. And I'd heard them described in all the classic ways that you do when you've done a lot of Bigfoot reading, but it was really kind of exciting to hear that for the first time, and I continue to be really drawn to the different recordings and to hear them because they are so different and beyond normal experience that you would have being outside. If you were to hear one of those, like we've said a number of times, I think it would just make, you know, the skin on the back of your neck crawl. I think also at the same time, you have to be careful with audio recording being put forth as evidence, because while on one hand, there may be the sensation that nothing makes this type of sound. Sound can be manipulated pretty easily today through a variety of technologies, and so we may not be hearing things that were, you know, actually recorded out in the wild somewhere. That was brought home to me most recently when we talked to Lyle Blackburn, and, you know, he proceeded to tell us that the sound that you hear in The Legend of Boggy Creek was created in the studio. And for years I had held on to the illusion that that was a recording that had been obtained in the field while they were investigating that flap. So I think you do have to hold that in tension with, you know, the hope that this is a real recording. Well, they can also be, you know, sound recordings can be manipulated pretty easily. So I don't know. It's a toss-up.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same place as you are. I think a lot of this stuff is really interesting, but it's almost all inconclusive, which is kind of a statement about the subject in general. Brandon, what about you? Closing thoughts.
Yeah, same kind of lines as what you guys were saying. You know, it's all speculative. We don't know. Something's making that sound, whether it's, like you said, a human being or another animal, or, you know, we have no idea if it's, you know, Bigfoot or not. But I think why people lean towards that is because just as we spoke of before, the lung capacity, the power that it takes. And you're thinking of all the other known large animals, and we know that none of them make that kind of a sound. So it makes sense why people would think it'd be Bigfoot. Although, like we said, it's purely speculative. You know, we have no idea. I had the question as well, why would they want to make such a loud sound when normally, you know, it seems like they want to be hidden away from people. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for example, in the Trent vocalizations we played earlier, if you watch the video where those, you know, the clip of that comes from, this looks like it's happening in someone's backyard. It's in West Virginia. She's got a real high, steep hill. And then, it's heavily wooded, but it doesn't sound like it's very far away. So it's a weird question is if, you know, they usually, like, tend to be hidden, why they would make such loud sounds in close proximity to people.
Yeah, it's true. I hadn't really thought about that. For an animal that's supposedly stayed hidden, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, how has it managed to do that if it's out there wailing like a banshee, you know? Very interesting. Brandon, thanks for coming on and talking about sounds with us and sharing your story and your dad's story. It's awesome. We'll be back next week for another episode. Join the conversation at facebook.com/sasswhat. Find us on Twitter by using the hashtag sasswhat, or you can find me on Twitter at Seth Breeds Love. Mark Matsky is on Twitter at Reverend Matsky. Send your letters to sasswhatmail@gmail.com and leave us a rating and review on iTunes.